Discipleship is a journey, step by step, one decision at a time. It's not always fast, and it's rarely easy. But every step draws us closer to Yeshua, closer to who He's calling us to be. We don't climb alone. We follow in His footsteps, and we walk with others, because growth happens in motion. And motion starts with just one step.
Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries, and welcome to our program. We are going to do a special program here, a series of episodes where we're going to talk about basic spiritual growth in the Lord. For most Christians, they refer to this topic as discipleship or the making of disciples. I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, the title of our program is Believer to Disciple to Bondservant. And later on, we'll find out that term bondservant is what separates a messianic believer from, say, a standard believer, a Christian believer. And we're going to talk about that progression. How do you go from being a believer to becoming a disciple in the Lord to becoming a bondservant in the Lord? I want to use a very simple education example I'm sure all of you are familiar with. And it has to do with our public education system, where we take a child. The parents enroll their young child into kindergarten, and they go through that first episode of being around other students with a teacher. And in kindergarten, they do things like they teach them their colors, and they teach them how to count, maybe, and how to get along with other kids and to follow the instruction of the teacher and things like that. They get into grade school. And in grade school, they go beyond that. They learn the alphabet, and they begin to learn how to use numbers a little bit. And they learn some basic kinds of things. And they get all the way through all of the grade school grades, and they ultimately get into high school. Now, when they get into high school, now we're teaching some really solid skills, mathematics, we're teaching science, we're teaching literature and how to write and read effectively, and with the idea that when you graduate from high school, you're able to go out and be employable and to be a part of society, and to earn an income and to be able to live. But then there's others that go on further. They go to college, and they choose to go and get a higher form of education, which is a lot of the stuff that they learned back in high school, but to an advanced level. In the case of mathematics or science or literature or English or whatever the different topics that they get into, they gain a greater appreciation for all the things they had learned before, and they become more knowledgeable of it. And those people that graduate from college are able to sometimes step out into the business world and become leaders and managers within companies and businesses. Now, if you go even further with the education, you can go and work on a graduate program, a master's degree, and where you become to develop very specialized skills in, say, in engineering or in the scientific community or the medical community. And ultimately, if you go all the way up, you go to the doctorate level. And a guy who has a PhD in electrical engineering, he's able to design things. Most lawyers have to get a Juris Doctorate to be able to be an effective lawyer. And a doctor, medical doctor, has to go to medical school and receive his degree in being a medical doctor. And our society is based on a number of these people who are at the rank of being like experts in those particular fields. And this is the progression of education and training. Now, everybody's familiar with that progression, and you know as you increase in your education, why you're able to do even more things. Well, the same thing is true about going from being a believer in the Lord to becoming a disciple in the Lord, becoming a bondservant in the Lord. There is a progression of training and teaching that takes place that enables you to do more things in the faith. In the case of a believer, a simple believer, this is a person who's accepted the Lord, has received salvation, is in fellowship with other believers, supposedly is being taught and trained further about it. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of believers really never progress much farther in their training and education than simply to be a believer. In fact, some of them don't get reassured and they're not confirmed enough to where some of them will fade away from the faith because they just haven't been trained and they haven't been taught in the faith, which is essential to do. I don't know if you know this, but if you're going to really learn about God, did you know that there's a different alphabet to learn about God than the one that we normally use in English? In fact, it's called the Aleph Bet, and that's like the alphabet. That's the alphabet for Hebrew. There's also a different alphabet for Greek. The Bible, for the most part, was written in Hebrew. If you're going to really go back to the original scriptures and really learn from them, you're going to have to learn the different Hebrew letters. You're going to have to learn the Aleph Bet. By the way, there's a different counting system rather than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, which are Arabic numerals. In Hebrew, we don't have numerals. We do different things with it. It's something called gematria. It's a numerical value associated. The average believer never learns any of that. And so they're limited to an English Bible and whatever the Sunday school teacher has taught them. And usually the Sunday school teacher and the pastor knows very little of that, about that, and so they're not able to teach you beyond much what they already know themselves. So a lot of believers get stuck at just being believers, and they never are turned into disciples. Disciples, on the other hand, are those believers who have developed skills in specifically dealing with the Bible. They have skills in dealing with prayer and conversing with God. They have skills in fellowship and being a part of fellowship. They have specific skills in sharing the faith and reproducing the faith, sharing the faith with others so they might come to know the Lord. Plus, they also learn commandments of the Lord, commandments that they should learn to obey. And a disciple is introduced to all of those elements and begins to make those a part of their spiritual life. They actually learn things about the Bible and what it teaches. They learn about prayer. They learn about fellowship. They learn about witnessing. And they learn the commandments of the Lord. Now, a lot of people will start off as a believer and they'll get involved with that. And maybe they go to a Bible study. Maybe they're in a prayer group. Maybe they go to church. They're in fellowship with other brethren. But many of them never get to the point where they can share their faith with another person and lead another person to the Lord like they were led to the Lord. And furthermore, they never get to the point of learning the commandments of the Lord. And in fact, they get caught up in theological debates about whether that's a commandment or not a commandment. And they can't sort out, well, let me go in the Bible and see what God really said versus what men are saying. Now, we hear the lesson all the time. Well, we're supposed to be trusting God and not listening to men. But the fact of the matter is, many who are short of being discipled never learn that lesson. They never learn how to make God the focus of their life. They're more caught up in what's going on around them and the fellowship they may be having or the communities where they're at. And the average American believer finds themselves bouncing from church to church, trying to find some kind of place where they can grow and trying to find that group they can be a part of that they feel spiritually progress is being made and that things are working for them. And it's because they've never been really discipled in the Lord. Now, your average Christian believer in his world system, you know, you have pastors and evangelists and teachers, and then you have the believers and the members of the church, and then you have the new believers in the church, and that's the system. But there's another description that's given in the Bible for what is called a bondservant of the Lord. You don't hear about this very often. And it's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. In fact, if you go back and look at the opening sentences of Paul's letters that he wrote, Peter, what he wrote, James, what he wrote, and so forth, they will introduce themselves. And Paul, for example, will say, Paul, a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, called an apostle. And that gets repeated multiple times. It turns out that Paul is far more interested in being a bondservant of the Lord than actually having the title of being an apostle. Now, we in the Christian world, we refer to the Apostle Paul. And that's the high title that we give to him because of his role that he's played in the faith and what he's learned. And we delete the part about him being a bondservant. Now, part of the reason why that is happening in the church today is because being a bondservant is actually part of the commandments. The commandment that was given right after the Ten Commandments, you know, God spoke from Mount Sinai, gave the Ten Commandments. So what was the next commandment that God gave to Moses? Well, right there in Exodus 21, what you're going to read is you're going to find out that he gives the law of the bondservant. This is about a man who is been a slave, and he's in the master's house, and suddenly he's been granted his freedom. But he doesn't want to leave the master's house. And he's willing to surrender his freedom to stay at the master's house. And what he does is he makes a commitment to be a servant for the rest of his life to the master. And so he's referred to as a bond servant. For the reason of love of the master, he's going to stay forever. He has a chance. He's been granted freedom by the master, but rather than taking advantage of the freedom, he says, no, I want to stay in the master's house and I want to serve him and so forth. And that's the progression of from a believer to being made a disciple to becoming a bondservant of the Lord. And by the way, there are many bondservants of Yeshua the Messiah, but you don't hear about those very often. That's what's going to make this program being taught by me a little bit unique for you. We're going to talk about discipleship. We're going to talk about how do you go from believer to becoming a disciple. But I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to go forward and teach you about how do we get to the point of being a bondservant of the Lord. We have to go through the discipleship training, but after that, we're going to go on to being a bondservant for it. And that's what this program is going to do. And in the course of the episodes that I'm going to share with you here, I'm going to introduce a couple of basic concepts. I'm sure you've heard of them. And I'm going to use a simple illustration that was used early in my life to help me in my discipleship training and how it expands and goes all the way for the topic that we have. Let me take you to a passage of Scripture I'm sure you're familiar with, Matthew chapter 28. This is the Messiah. He has done the work of redemption. This is after the resurrection. He's with the disciples and who are going to become apostles. And this is like his last instruction. This is his last thing he's sharing with them before he ascends and leaves them there on the earth. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 18, it says, "And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He's saying that I've accomplished the work that I needed to do, and I have this authority, this spiritual authority, over all the instruction spiritually for you, and I'm going to use that authority, and I'm going to delegate to you, and I'm going to grant you some of that authority to go and do certain things for me. The next verse says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now, to make a disciple, they got to become a believer first. You cannot be a disciple of Yeshua without being a believer of Yeshua, the Messiah. And part of the being baptized is you have to have a public testimony. You can't be a secret believer And so you have to have made public declaration that you are a believer of Yeshua, and you're willing to stand up and be counted as being a believer of Yeshua and learning what he taught. So this is the command that was given to them. And he goes further in verse 20. He says, teaching them to follow all I command you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I want you to take note of the phrase, to follow all that I commanded you. What all did those men that were standing there and listening to Yeshua, what had they been commanded? Because, you see, they had matured in the Lord. They had matured to the point of being disciples of him, to the point that they understood the commandments of the Lord. I have, in my experience, I have met many, many strong believers. I would count them as disciples of the Lord. In fact, in my past, I was part of an organization as a young man called the Navigators, and their goal is to make disciples. And I was one of the men that was trained by them and made into a disciple. And some of the things I'm going to show you comes from that. But they never spent any time teaching me the commandments. It was later that I actually learned about the commandments, because I learned that the Torah was part of the Bible and it applied to all of us. And that's when I began to learn the commandments of the Lord, and that's the same training that these men had with Yeshua when he was speaking to them about the Great Commission. Yeshua is basically saying, I want you to go out and lead people to the Lord. I want you to make believers. I want you to get them to make public testimony, get baptized. I want you to train them up in all that I have trained you in, make them disciples so that they're able to spiritually walk before me. And all that I have commanded you, I want you to teach that to them as well. Well, what Yeshua is talking about is the whole progression from becoming a believer to a disciple to becoming a bondservant. Now, I will have to admit to you that when I was a younger man and I was being discipled, they never talked about that last part. I'm not quite sure why. I think it has to do with primarily they didn't know about it. They hadn't been taught that themselves. And whereas we had learned to go into the Bible and learn this, we never looked at it that there was like something more there that we don't know about. And it wasn't until I later in my life, in my increasing relationship with the Lord, that I suddenly realized, wait a minute, there's a whole bunch of other instruction here that I haven't been given by my previous teachers. I began to teach those things. Other men like me did the same thing. And today we have in this generation what is called the modern Messianic movement. The modern Messianic movement has believers that have come, for the most part, out of the church, and they're being discipled and being taught the whole Bible, not two-fifths of the Bible. And they're learning about prayer, and they're learning about fellowship, and one of the things they're learning about fellowship is they're learning about Sabbath and the feast of the Lord, the fellowship associated with that. And they're learning about sharing the faith, witnessing, and they find themselves having a lot of conversations with friends, family, other Christians, and they're discovering there's quite a bit of difference between a Messianic believer and a just standard Christian that goes to church. And it has to do with keeping the commandments. Your average Sunday go to meet in church Christian, he's heard about Sabbath, but he thinks that's for other people. That's not for him. And one of the things that a Messianic does, he says, no, these are commandments that were given to all of us. Same thing with the feasts. And a lot of Christians are learning about the Passover. Oh my gosh, the Passover is one of the most Christian things you possibly do. That's what the Messiah did with the apostles and the disciples. And in fact, that's the dominant subject in the Gospels, is the Messiah getting teaching the disciples and getting them to the point of that one particular Passover in which the Yeshua was arrested, convicted, and executed as the Lamb of God to be our redemption, which was the prophecy that the Messiah would be the Lamb of God. And it's all pictured in the Passover. That's part of the Torah. That's part of the law. In fact, the law specifies that we are to keep that as a memorial commandment in all generations for all people. But, you know, the church is basically told, I was told back when I was being discipled by lots of Christians, oh, that's for the Jews. That doesn't apply to us. Well, this program is going to do the whole enchilada, if you'll allow me to use that term. We're going to teach all of it. We're going to teach about from believer to disciple to bondservant. And I pray and hope that this is going to be instructive and encouraging to you, and that you'll find this to be a fulfilling element for you in the faith. Now, the idea of making a disciple and becoming a disciple, let's talk a little bit more about the definition of that. To go from believer to disciple. A disciple is a personal follower of the Lord, where you personally follow the Lord and his life. You especially like the example of the 12 apostles, and you spread the doctrine, and you're personally convinced of the truth as a mature believer as to what Yeshua taught. You have internalized Yeshua's instruction, and you believe it, and you begin to walk it out. You're also trained in the scriptures. You find out what the Bible is. You learn about the Bible. You learn about the parts of the Bible, and you begin to receive instruction from the Bible. You learn about prayer. You learn about personal prayer to God, why you pray, what you can pray for, and believing in God for answered prayer, working with others in prayer. And you learn about fellowship, as I mentioned before, not only just going and meeting with other fellow believers, but the work that you would do together with other believers in the faith. The disciple learns how to do all those different things for it. But he also learns how to share his faith. He learns how to be a soul winner, as a lot of churches will refer to, the techniques on how to go to a person who doesn't know the Lord, deal with their life where it's at, speak to what God has said with regard to sin and forgiveness of sin, and God's promise for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life, and help a person to take that step toward the Lord, to receive the Lord and receive the forgiveness and get the gift of eternal life. So you're able to help that person to get to the point of where they qualify as being a believer of the Lord. Now, the idea that Yeshua talked about making disciples, in other words, training people up in the faith, believers, to become proficient and skilled and mature in the Lord, some have referred to it as spiritual pediatrics. Pediatrics is the care of young children. And quite honestly, when you get a believer, a brand new believer in the Lord, they're like a baby. They're very interested in learning. They're hungry. But they easily cry. They easily can get hurt. And if you're going to assist them in making them into a disciple, you're going to have to spend some tender care and nurturing care to help them. And you may actually have to kind of spoon feed them, if you will, a little bit, some of the teachings of the Lord, actually pray with them and teach them how to pray. And so a lot of people, when they become believers, have never prayed out loud. Maybe they might have done it under their breath. And just that little simple step is crucial to start the process of teaching them about prayer. Making disciple is doing those basic kinds of things. It's not talking about big, vast things. It's about covering the basics. You know, when we're training our children at home, I can assure you that when we get a baby and we pop them up into the high chair and so forth, you don't just slap a ribeye steak down on there in front of them with a knife and fork and say, have a good time with it. They don't know how to operate a knife and a fork. Besides that, the bites are too large for them. They'll choke on it. You know, instead, we get these little jars of all pureed food, and we have a little soft spoon and a little tiny spoon, and you use it and you feed them, gently feeding them so they don't choke and so they're able to get the necessary nourishment so they can continue to grow. Well, the same thing is about when you take a new believer and you begin the first steps of discipleship. Well, that disciple then has a whole series of other things that they need to learn. They need to learn how you trust the Lord, how the Lord spiritually works in your life. And you have to learn about spiritual things and many topics that are in the Bible for you to come to terms with. Now, before I go all the way into how do you take a disciple and you turn him into a bondservant, well, that's at the point where you've got to get a disciple who truly can understand the teaching of not only Yeshua, but he needs to understand the teaching of Moses and the prophets and the apostles. He can go in and extract what are the principles and what are the things being taught, process those, and to learn what are God's commandments that he's given to us on how we should live and how we should operate, so that you gain the necessary knowledge, understanding, and wisdom to be mature in the faith. But once you get to the point of being a bondservant, we're talking about someone who's wholehearted and completely committed to the Lord. He continues to grow. He continues to learn about the Lord. His relationship continues to deepen and become enriched in the Lord. But it's a big step for you to become a bondservant. In fact, there's actually a public requirement, just as you want the believer to make a public profession of faith, a bondservant has to make a public profession of faith when he steps to the level of being committed for the rest of his life to the Lord. And Yeshua taught that. He said that if you want to be my bondservants, you want to be my disciples, you have to step to the level of not only confessing that you love your master, you love your wife and children and so forth, but you also love the brethren of the master. You love your fellow believers with it, and you're willing to lay down your life for them in keeping the goals and purposes of the Lord. Now, I'm going to use an illustration that was used with me when I was a young man, where I began to start the process of becoming a believer to a disciple. And we're going to show you several graphics on here, but this is a representation of what is called the discipleship wheel. Let me tell you about this illustration. I didn't originate this. This is an illustration. Well, first of all, let me explain it. You've got God in the center here, and then the vertical spokes of the wheel is prayer that reaches up God, the Word, where God has spoken to us. These are the vertical spokes. The horizontal spokes is fellowship that you have with other believers and witnessing. This is the fellowship or the relationship you have with unbelievers. The rim of the wheel is when you come to terms with the commandments of the Lord. Now, the idea of a disciple is that all of these elements are put together, that the power that turns this wheel comes from God. The power to live the spiritual life as a disciple comes from God directly. And that these spokes are what provide the structure and the support so that this wheel can turn and bear a load. So once you have everything in place, the wheel turns, and the strength of the wheel is such that you're able to accomplish things. So it's not just that you have some of these qualities, it's that you have these qualities and they begin to work for God's kingdom. And so this wheel, let me just tell you where it really came from. There's a man that started the Navigator organization. His name was Dawson Trotman, and I believe this is going back in the 1930s. He took to heart Matthew 28, where God had said, make disciples. And so he was a strong believer, and he said, now how am I going to do that? How do I reach out to people? He just had this little place there in Long Beach. And he began to invite sailors to his home who were stationed on ships. They'd come from all over the United States. They were stationed on ships there near Long Beach. They came into his home, and he began to teach him this illustration and began to teach how to build the spokes of this wheel in their life and began to get this wheel working in them. Well, many of these men learned this, and they were able to then teach this to other men. And the Navigator ministry is based on making disciples, and each one, after they're trained, is able to reproduce and teach another these same kinds of things. And as the story goes, using this basic illustration, plus he had other illustrations and other teachings that he developed, he was able to reach out, and eventually he discovered that he had had men in his living room that had come from all 50 states of the, excuse me, for at that time, 48 states of the Union, had been in his home, and that they had gone out in the world because they were on ships of sea, and they had spread out into the world and gone wherever the U.S. Navy and the Marines had gone. And it started out that way, and sure enough, he followed, he believed the commandment, he tried to keep the commandment, and he was successful in leading many men and helping many men to become discipled. Now, he didn't disciple every one of them, but he discipled men who then discipled other men. But he developed this concept of making disciples and, are you ready for this? Making disciple makers. And so that there was this spiritual reproduction that began to take place. Which just takes us to a very interesting illustration and a question that we should ask. Now, the Lord has given us the task, go into all the nations, make disciples of all nations. So the Lord is interested in all the people of the world being discipled and learning about the Lord. Well, let me explain something to you about the simple logistics and the simple math of what we're talking about. Let's say that, let's go all the way back to the days after the resurrection. Peter and the apostles are going to the temple. It's the day of Pentecost, and you remember the story there in Acts chapter 2, in which that after the gift of the Holy Spirit was given, there was a whole crowd of people that would start asking questions. Peter got up and he preached, and he told them about the sacrifice of Yeshua and what it had accomplished, and they all wanted to know how can they be saved, and he said, well, repent. Be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll be a believer, and you'll know the Lord too. And it says, it's reported for us on that day, that were 3,000 souls that repented and were baptized on that one day in Jerusalem. Now, let's say that from that day to the present day that we're in, let's say that somebody in the world, somewhere, holds a tent meeting, holds a public meeting, and 3,000 people get saved. And every day since that day, 3,000 people have been saved every day. So 3,000 people every day since that day, going all the way back, we're talking now a couple of thousand years, how many people would we have that would be believers of the Lord at this point? And if you're thinking that it would be billions, you would be wrong. It would be only hundreds of millions. It would probably be the population of the United States of America, but not any of the other nations. So the idea of standing up preaching and getting everybody to come forward and get saved and get baptized, you're never going to win the world doing that. That's a fact. So why are churches going out, holding church services, preaching, getting people to come up and get saved at the altar and thinking that they're obeying this commandment? That is not going to accomplish the commandment. However, if you could get one guy to believe this commandment, like Dawson Trotman was thinking, and he spends time with another fellow, and he leads him to the Lord. He disciples him. He teaches him the Lord and teaches him how to go out and lead a guy to the Lord and teach that next guy. If you were to get that process going to where that I lead a guy to the Lord, I disciple him in the Lord this year, and then I go get another guy next year, and the guy I discipled last year, he goes and he gets a guy, and he just does one guy. We just do one guy a year. How many people would we bring to faith? Well, after 33 to 34 years, you would have won the entire population of the world, all 8 billion. And not only are they believers and gotten wet and been baptized, they've been discipled in the faith, and they're able to walk uprightly before the Lord on their own. So this business of making disciples, this business of teaching other people to go from believer to disciple, is a very crucial step in obeying the commandment of us to share the faith as the Lord called us to make disciples in all nations. But the breakdown, the reason why we don't do it is because we quite honestly don't get all these basics in place correctly, and this rim never really gets built. And so you have people who have some of the spokes, some of the rim of the wheel, but they don't have the whole thing. So that's the reason why the Christian faith that we have today, churches and so forth, have not fulfilled the commandment to lead all the people of the world to being believers. We have some that are following the commandment of the Lord, and they're trying to disciple people into the faith, and that's what they're trying to do. Now, I've shown you this wheel, and I want to tell you essentially seven things that this wheel is trying to teach you. Number one is the very center of this, is one of the principles of teaching the wheel is to make God the center of your life. This is where a beginner believes. A believing beginner starts by trusting the Lord. He asks for forgiveness. He receives the promise of forgiveness, and he receives the promise of eternal life. And so thus his life begins. God is in the center of his life at that point. So that has to be strengthened. That has to be made profound. Now, when I was going through this as a young man, this used to say, make Christ the center of your life. They would focus just in on the Messiah. Well, we got a little bit of a problem because it turns out there's more to God than just the Messiah. There's God the Father. There's God the Holy Spirit. So the way I teach this is we got to make God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit the center of your life, not just the Messiah. And that's what's going to take you into all the Bible for you to come to terms with that and learn it. The next thing you're going to learn is you got to learn this spoke about the Word. You got to come to terms with the Bible. You got to learn how to get the Bible into your life. How do you get those instructions? What are the parts of the instruction? What does the Bible have in it? And how can I get that in my life? The upper spoke is prayer. You got to learn how to talk to the Lord, get answers to your prayers, get God working your life, you working with God in your life. Obviously, fellowship, you got to learn all the different ways of relating with the brethren and going in fellowship with them, not avoiding being a part of the fellowship with them and the instruction, and that's how you relate to your fellow believers and your activities in life. Witnessing and sharing your faith, and I've talked about how the ability to be able to share your faith with a non-believer. But then the big one, the really big one, is you got to learn the commandments of the Lord. Now, in Christianity today, there's a theology which has gone around saying, well, we don't need to learn all those commandments. All that stuff that was given for Israel, that was given for the Jews. So let me address something with you very basic, and that's the reason why this is a messianic teaching of the wheel. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does not teach what Christian leaders teach you about the commandments. The Bible says that those commandments that were given through Moses to the children of Israel, they are for all people of the world. It's not the exclusive property of Israel. That the covenants that God made with Israel are to be made with all men. That when you become a believer, you become part of the big plan that God's doing with Israel and with his people. And every one of those commandments says this is for the native born, for the alien, the sojourner, the foreigner. Every one of them says that. So where do we get this idea that the commandments are only for the Jewish people and only for Israel? It's a false teaching. If you're really going to make it the bondservant, you can't make it the bondservant unless you are accepting all of God's commandments, because the law of the bondservant is one of those commandments. You won't find a Christian teacher telling you that you need to follow the law of the bondservant. But you will hear Yeshua saying it, and you will hear the apostles saying it. So you got to make a basic decision. If I'm going to be discipled and I'm going to mature in the Lord, am I going to receive all of the instruction that God has given on this, or am I going to accept the version that has been given by the church? Yours truly, I was taught in the church, and I heard all of this instruction before. But then I suddenly learned there's way more to the Bible. There's way more to this relationship with God than what I had been told. My center, my life, is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I include all of the Bible, and I include all people of the world. And I'm looking at how God views the world. There are believers and there are unbelievers. There's no more Jews and Gentiles. There's no more Israel and the church nonsense. There's no more separation and division. God wants all of us to be part of his kingdom, and his kingdom is called Israel. So I'm going to be teaching you the messianic wheel, the one that I think Yeshua would come here and teach you. And that's what our program is going to be about. Now, this is our first episode introducing it to you. When I come back to you again in the next episodes, we're going to be going through what does it mean by making God the center of your life? How do we get those spokes built into your life? And ultimately, how do we get those commandments working in your life so that the wheel is built in your life to become a full disciple leading to a bondservant? Until then, I look forward to the next episode with you. Shalom to everyone. I'll see you again.